Good question, though.
Angry.
Yeah, but it was a good question.
Hi, Derek.
Randy? Raise your ears.
I can't, I have to pay attention.
All right, everybody, so Jeremiah chapter 27. Luke, would you open us up in prayer, please?
Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for we come to church.
Okay.
Thank you for my parents have safe travels home. Pray for pastor, give him the words to speak. Pray for we take it, we use it in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. All right, Jeremiah 27, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, and a lot of this started in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. The son of Josiah, king of Judah, came the word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers, which come to Jerusalem, unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. So imagine taking this yoke, and you put it on, but you send one to these foreign kings. Their message, by the way, take this to your king. Tell him he's going to have to wear this. And, you know, and in today's day of YouTube and, you know, internet and all that, it wouldn't seem like much. But in those days, those kind of demonstrations meant a lot, okay? You know, it was like, because you didn't have that much, you know? If you watch some of the Greek plays, you think, this is the most boring thing I've ever heard. Man, thousands would come to watch those because you didn't have anything like that, okay? So it was very effective. He's showing them, look, you're going to wear this yoke. All right, you think you're getting over on Nebuchadnezzar, but the yoke's on you. All right. Yes. Verse 3. And send them to the king of Edom. All right, well, verse 4. And command them to say unto their master, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall you say to your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. Now, there's a good verse for why different people are where they are on the earth. God gave it to who he wanted to give it to. And it goes on and says, and now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him and his son's son, until the very time of his land come, and then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve the king, serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with a sword, with a famine, and with a pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. Again, this is one of these odd times in history. It's going to be 70 years, but God's going to just take all these nations. He's purging. He's cleansing. It's a mess. It's a huge change in the world. 9. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you, to remove you far from your land, that I should drive you out and you should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. So those lands that obeyed, they went. You'll find Tyre did that. They came back to their land. You'll find Egypt did that. They came back to their land, different ones. Others were wiped out.
Verse 9, dreamers, is that referring to prophets?
Yeah, in other words, people who said, I had a dream and here's what my dream said, yes.
Like Joseph.
Just about to ask that.
That's right, Tanya said, like Joseph, and Randy was thinking that same thing. Joseph had a dream, but his dream was in accordance with the word of God. Now, here's the other thing, and this is what the law said. If someone comes up to you and says they have a prophecy, and you're wondering, well, is it true? Okay. Now, if it's today, you don't even worry about it. Because the Bible's very clear, no one has a gift of prophecy. If they have a prophecy, they got it out of the Bible. Or there's some a clever man knowing that, you know, Ford stock will go up for 3 days or something. But, you know, but back in those days, if a person had a prophecy, the Lord said, judge it. First of all, does that prophecy violate the word of God? If it does, eh. If it doesn't violate the word of God, then you ask yourself, did it come true? If it didn't, he's not from God. Okay. Three types of prophecy you'll find in your Bible. One is immediate prophecy. Okay. For example, when the king reached out to grab the man in 1 Kings 13 and his hand turned withered. All right. And then he immediately healed it. That's just immediate. It's just obvious. Then you had prophecy that was more for, you know, 4 or 5 year period of time. The king of Babylon's going to come. He's not there tomorrow. It's not immediate. But during their lifetimes, they saw that happen. They saw it come true. Okay. Those of you that are my age or older, like Sharon. No, she's actually, we're both 69 now. All right. So I can't tease her anymore for a whole couple months. All right. But, yeah. Well, the cooks for sure. All right. John Vadis for sure. All right. But, all right. But those are old. Like, you have seen things happen in your lifetime. You've seen things come to pass in your lifetime. You've seen amazing things come. Some horrible, some good. All right. But in their lifetimes, if they saw, say, Isaiah's immediate prophecies come true, then they saw his, you know, longer time prophecies, those medium time prophecies come true, then they knew those millennial prophecies, put them in the book. All right? They're for sure, they're going to come true. And then you knew you could put those things that they're talking about, long-term prophecies of Jesus Christ coming, of his second coming, of what eternity will be like. All right, so good question there as far as asking about the dreamers there. Hello. All right, verse 11. But the nations that bring their yoke, their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, serve him, those will I let remain in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. Verse 12, I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon, and serve him and his people, and live. Zedekiah is one of those people like Saul who just feared the people. You're going to see that. He had no confidence in his own right. And again, it's just heartbreaking to me that right up almost to the last moment, he's given a chance to repent one more time and guaranteed, and he still can't bring himself to do it. He's so afraid of what everyone's going to think about him. And it goes, it's that thing Jesus Christ said, how can you believe which receive honor one from another and not the honor which cometh from God only? And that's a huge hindrance to people in their believing. They're all so worried about what other people will think about them, okay? And it's such a hindrance to them.
How do you take steps to get over it, though?
Look in the mirror, call yourself the dirtiest names you know, and say, get over it.
Yeah.
All right.
Done that.
Okay, good. You know, the morning I got saved, I used to go into the Columbia City Jail with a guy by the name of Bud Cameron, and he preached there. And, of course, it's got that smell of vomit and disinfectant and urine. And it was a hot jail, Columbia, South Carolina, in the 1980s. And I remember this big old black guy used to come up, and he just loved preaching, Bud. Don't preach about it. Just this big old fleshy, big old black guy, bald or whatever. And Bud would be so happy to see him. And, you know, there's a reproach. You grab his hand, and, you know, it feels awful or anything. But I remember the morning that I was struggling with salvation, I told the Lord, if that man could come here and show me how to be saved, I would kiss his feet. I would hug his feet if that man could show me how to be saved right now. I would hug his feet. I mean, I didn't care what anybody thought. It was just, Lord was glad I came there. Later on, I became glad I came there, all right? All right. Verse 13, why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Sir?
Pestilence, does that mean different things?
Pestilence is like disease, okay? COVID was pestilence. Look what it did to our nation, brought it to its knees, all right? really bureaucrats pretend to be scientists brought it to their knees, but nevertheless, you know. But that's pestilence, okay?
Still never want to hear it again.
All right, and again, those are, it's a judgment against the nation. Go read the judgments against the nations. The others are coming. Noisome beasts, okay? The sword, okay? Those are judgments against the nation, all right? And you can expect those. Verse 14, therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. By the way, you know why? He says, you know, why will you do this? Why will you die? Because they really don't believe Jeremiah. They really don't believe it. Okay? They don't believe it. And that's the big thing, you know, that the preaching has to overcome is people who don't believe. They'll come up, oh, I want to be saved so bad. They don't really believe this stuff. Okay. Verse 15, for I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, that you might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. Do you realize Joel Osteen was sent by God? A lot of this modern charismatic movement was sent by God. This modern worship, woo, you wiggle your hiney for Jesus stuff, was sent by God.
Is that part of that great falling away?
It's part of that great falling away. It's part of that thing. It's a nation that God's so angry with and disgusted and gone back on everything their forefathers ever said and all the covenants they ever made. They've gone back on it, and he's given them the false prophets. This is what you wanted. Here they are. I loved what Kevin Sheridan said. You shut down that, you know, that modern worship movement, 5 seconds, unplug their guitars,
right. Yeah, right.
You know, shut their microphones off. What would they do?
Yeah.
They have to get out there and talk to people.
Yeah.
16, also I spake to the priests and all this people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. What do they mean by that? Nebuchadnezzar had come, if you remember, and he took the current king to Babylon, the king's household and all that. Was, again, that was a common thing in those days, to take royal people and hold them hostage. Also took the vessels out of the house of God. So the prophets are saying, they're all coming back. No, they're not. All right. Verse 17, hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? But if they be prophets, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord, in the house of the king of Judah, and at Jerusalem, go not to Babylon. Hey, let them pray and say, don't let it happen. You know, what if you lived in Jerusalem at that time? You're trying to decide who's the right, okay? You realize people out there wondering? I remember one time, preaching to Bill Randall's son, and we were working together. He's just a hard-working boy, selling cocaine on the side and getting drunk every night and that kind of stuff. But I mean a hard-working boy. He's the kind that'd come in. He might have been, and some of you know people like this, he might have been drinking until 5 o'clock in the morning, but 7 o'clock when it's time to work, he's there, and he'd work, you know. We used to sit him in the hottest part of the warehouse just to watch the green sweat pop out of him, you know. But the thing is, when I got saved, you know, he hated me because I was one of his father's preacher boys. And yet he needed that job, and we worked together. When I got saved, I had to tell him, Billy, I've never been saved. And he, you know, he thought that was ridiculous. And, you know, and I sat there and explained to him why I had never been saved before and why I'm saved now. He just stood very stoically, looked at me, and I left. And he told me, he said, the second you left, he told me this about 6 months later. He said, I went back and threw myself on a pile of cardboard and I cried to God. And I told the Lord, if my father's gospel is the correct one, I'm lost on my way to hell. And then he mentioned this preacher, Vernon. He said, if Vernon Pritchard's gospel is right, I'm going to heaven. Lord, you've got to show me which gospel is true. All right? It meant something to him. And he sought and he searched. And he ended up coming up with Bible salvation. Okay? But it's just that idea. There are people just too trivial to ever throw themselves on a box, you know, a pile of cardboard and beg God to show them. People too trivial to ever go and say, I have to know the truth. I must know what it is. God loves that. God will go to great lengths to show a person the truth. Again, I remember one time pulling over by the side of the road and William's standing there on a street corner. William, what are you doing? I'm looking for Dave Walker. Why? I'm going to kill him. And he meant it. He was packing heat. He said he just burned me in a huge drug deal. And Dave was like 40 years old. William's like 18. And he had to get over him and he's looking for him. And I always thank God he didn't find him. Dave Walker got out of town. He heard William was going to kill him. And William didn't care. He's the same one, and I tell that story with him, finally got saved, and he's working with me in another company now. And Dave Walker comes in to sell something. Sees William, runs out the parking lot. William goes, it's all right, Dave, I'm saved. Dave walks in, struts like it was never a problem.
The things pride will make us do.
Yes. Give you an idea. His father kicked him out when he was 17. He went to the town of Pelion, which is a big town today, but then it was just a sleepy little nothing town like, you know, Clarksville or something like that. And there was a big house in the middle of it where all the bikers lived. And he went and got him a bunk in it. And then somebody told the head biker, the kid's only 17, so he came and told him, you have to leave. William said, leave me. And when it was all done, William had the head biker down on the ground. His father taught him to fight. They said, well, we'll make an exception for you. Yeah. But God saved him. Now goes on, it says this. Verse 19. For thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars and concerning the sea and concerning the bases and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in the city. They meant by that, in that temple are still valuable pillars, things made of brass. And they're there. There was a sea made. It was all of brass. And so, you know, they're obviously very expensive things to have. And that's something other nations would love to loot. So he's talking about those things are still left in this city, yes?
Are these things the things from the first temple or from Nehemiah's temple?
Nehemiah's temple was 70 years in the future. This is the first temple, okay? All right. And then it says this. Verse 20, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Yea, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until that day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. And again, when Cyrus sent the people back, he ordered all that stuff in the warehouse, send it back to the temple. You know that? Can you imagine that? Where God worked in those kings with these huge, valuable things. And they sent them back again. Never doubt what God can do.
Right.
Never doubt it. You know what you heard last night with Kevin Sheridan? Mm. He's one of the most broken people I know, but it goes back to that thing of A.W. Tozer. That somehow, if God intends to use a man, he hurts him very deeply. And I assure you, Kevin Sheridan was hurt very deeply. And, you know, and finally came a point, you heard what you got. You know, what a goofball, but the power of God. You know, two types of M&Ms, peanut, but God uses the plain ones. All right. All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. 28. I miss that. All right, and it came to pass, verse 1. It came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. So here comes a false prophet in. Tell everybody it's settled. Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, in the presence of the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform the words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war, of evil, of pestilence. The prophet which prophesied the peace, when the word of that prophet shall come to pass, then shall that prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. What was that yoke? The main way he's communicating with the people, that constant reminder. What's the first thing that your enemies want to do? Shut you up. Stop your message. Do whatever they can. Your enemies want to quiet you because they're afraid of your message. Okay? I don't care what my enemies say. I'll speak against it. But I have confidence that if I can speak and they speak, that my words will overcome their words. They have confidence of the same thing. Therefore, they try to shut me up. Okay? That's what censorship is about. We both have confidence of the same thing. If you knew you could defeat somebody's words publicly, why would you censor them? You wouldn't do it in a million years. Alright. It goes on, it says this. Verse 12, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke. 11. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Let's see which one's true. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest his people to trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. You notice when he first came up and rebuked him, Jeremiah just walked away. Then he got the word of God and came back and said what he had to say.
Pastor?
Ma'am?
So Daniel's dream, that part where each section had a different type, was Nebuchadnezzar the iron one?
Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold. Daniel tells him that.
Okay. I was only asking because of the bar, the yoke was of
the
iron.
The yoke of iron, yeah. Caleb, I'm very disturbed. That coffee you got me went cold. What was it, bad coffee? Go pour this out over the rail and get fill it about halfway with hot coffee, all right? From now on, get me the second cup before the first one. All right. Jeremiah 29. Yes. Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders which were carried away captive, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. Sir, thank you very much. Yeah, that's much better. I don't know what you did wrong with that first one. It was really cool. Right? Verse 2, after that Jeconiah and the king and the queen and the eunuchs and the princes of Judah and Jerusalem and the carpenters and the smiths were departed from Jerusalem by the hand of Elsaiah, the son of Shaphan, And Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent unto Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. So Jeremiah writes a letter to the captives. It's interesting because it's way late in Daniel's career before he ever sees this. I always marvel at that because Daniel currently is strong there. But if you look, it's way, it's like in Darius's reign or something like that. It's after Nebuchadnezzar is gone that Daniel actually gets to read this letter. So that's a puzzle to me why that's so. All right. Verse 4. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you be not increased there and not diminished. Those eat, drink, give in marriage, live a normal life. Don't sit there thinking you're going to live in an RV for the next couple years and come back. You're not. Settle down. Build a house. Settle down. Live there. Okay. The obedient ones did that. Probably had a good 60, 70 years there. Okay. Verse 7, and seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. So where you are, pray for them. Okay? It's really what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy. That idea, who do you pray for? For kings and all those in authority. Why? That we can continue to serve the Lord. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected death. There's not a person on this earth that God doesn't have that will that he could give them thoughts of peace. Not a person on this earth that God doesn't have that heart towards them.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with most of your heart. No, all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into this place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Because ye have said, the Lord hath raised us up prophets in Babylon, know that thus saith the Lord, the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwell in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, and with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed in all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and an astonishment and a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them. Because they have not hearkened unto my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by thy servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, that you would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all of ye of the captivity, who I am sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Kaliah, and of Zedekiah, the son of Messiah, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Now listen to what he says to him. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of the king of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. And of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah, which are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Okay? And the sad part is, when they finally died there, it only got worse. Okay? All right, and again, here's what God's offered. Here's this wonderful thing he's offered, but you still have people prophesying against it. There's people fighting against what God's saying. All right? And again, there's people fighting against what we say here. You know, we've gotten more used to it now, but you know where Big Bang goes, and you know how many people are out there who prayed a prayer when they were a child, and okay, I think I'm saved now, and then their life just turned to wickedness. Yeah. Wasn't it a relief to find out that wasn't really salvation?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Wasn't it a relief to find out, oh, that wasn't salvation?
Yeah.
You know, because none of those promises worked. None of that happened. None of that stuff did anything in your life or whatever else, and everybody said, oh, no, you're saved or whatever else. It's actually a liberty to show to a person that wasn't salvation. That isn't what God's offering to you, okay? But, oh, my goodness, the men that rise up against that absolutely hate that with their whole heart, okay? I have some even within this church who still hate that, all right? They just endure that, you know, it went up here. And yet, at the same time, God's offering this one thing, thoughts of peace, all right? And when he does save a person, he doesn't suddenly turn them into a right-wing Republican or something. No. He gives grace in their life. Okay?
Yes.
A joy in their life, a touch of God in their life, and a, you know, this mercy and wonder in their life, and this holiness in their life, this awe that's a little bit amazing to them that God should ever do this for them. And you know, and I watch these people go around who strut and talk about Jesus, but you never see that grace in their life. You know, you never see that holiness. And it's not, you know, if you watch my life 24 hours a day, you know, you don't see grace and holiness 24 hours a day, all right? But it's there. And you know what? It oozes out sometimes, all right? And I watch in some people where it oozes out sometimes. And, you know, and it kind of takes a hold of them and works in them from time to time or whatever else. And it's such a wonder to realize, oh, that old thing wasn't salvation, all right? Who called me?
Right here.
Oh.
I was kind of hoping for just context example sake, going off what you said about the Republican, but what was it like your first few days being saved?
A lack of the roaring in my ears. A confidence. A quietness. Okay. You know, and again, because I am historically an idiot, I did my best to, you know, ruin things and mess things up or whatever else, and because historically we have a God who's a great God.
Amen.
Who determined that he would break me of idiocy, and, you know, and, you know, Ruth Ann tells the story, and I'm sure she's making it up, but.
Here we go.
But you know, I used to have this 1972 green Volkswagen and little doodle bug, and you know, corded her in it and that, and got married. She could kind of sit right where the stick shift was, and I'd shift anyway, and you know, that was our car together. But it had a way of abandoning us at times. It seemed like pretty crucial times, all right? You're on your way to work, you're a little late anyway, and you're in a bad mood, and suddenly it's died by the side of the road. And she has these memories, and I'm sure she made them up, of me getting out screaming by the side of the road, so angry because it's happened or whatever else. And it's really where I became convinced that God allowed man to invent the internal combustion engine purely to chastise Christians. That it is one of the most effective things to actually get to a man's soul and just jerk at him as deep as you can, all right? But out of it all, we learned. You know, we learned.
It's the hard way, though.
Yeah, we learned the hard way. Right? You know, the sad part is, Randy, I've never learned any other way. You know.
Who has?
Right. You know, I'm not one of these people who read and said, oh, I'm to speak peaceably to people. I'll do it from now on. Bing. That never happened with me. I just went on my old way and just went through the chastisement of God and the misery and everything else. And after a while, you're like, all right, God, I'll do it your way. All right? And, you know, it's not that I suddenly just, oh, you know what? I'll have a steady diet, a study in the Word of God. No, that didn't happen. I would just get such agony and misery and my life be all awful and everything else. And finally, you'd say, you know, all right, I'll study my Bible tomorrow. And then I wouldn't tomorrow. And it would be even worse. It's just an agony. And finally, you'd have that day of study. It would just be the most wonderful thing. Oh, my goodness. just a full happiness and joy. Look at, I've done this or whatever. And then you're happy, and you, and a month later, you wonder why you're miserable again. You remember that day back there?
Right.
You know? And then eventually gets to the point where I had a regular time in the Word of God, okay? Regular time to spend time with God, regular time to do that. It's not that I suddenly one day just was, oh, I so love Jesus that I'll do this. You know, that never happened to me, all right? And I've never trusted anybody that said it happened to them, all right?
Seems like a good reason.
That's right. You know, God has a way of molding you to what he wants you to be. And we all have a way of trying to unmold ourselves, all right? You know, we watched Amy trying to get little Noah to be quiet. Little Noah didn't want to be quiet, all right? You know, art is back, you know, and we all have a way of doing that with God in our own way.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
All right, fellas, go be good if you get a chance. All right. So he goes on and he says this. Verse 23, why, verse 23 in Jeremiah 29, why will he have those men slain? Why will people use that and say, hey, let you be roasted like those two men? Because they have committed villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded. And even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. You know, when Joshua Kidd left Shingle House and went to Missouri, the church that Preach Evangelistic Enterprises was in is one of these, they call them brighter churches. Mm-hmm. You weren't baptized by an official Baptist. You had to be baptized over. So you got baptized over again. And it's just, you wonder at these people. They're happier over getting somebody baptized than getting somebody saved. But in Maine, Brother McVeigh was telling me, he said it was a huge movement there where they were, you know, ostracizing churches. You had to be baptized. In other words, the landmark movement says that I was baptized by somebody who was baptized by somebody who was baptized by somebody who came from the original Welsh Baptists who came here in the 1700s, because those Welsh Baptists had lived in the swamps in the hills of Wales since the time of the Apostle Paul. That's probably historically true. Okay. They then sent missionaries to the United States, to the colonies at that time, and started churches. So Bill Randall let us know. He said, A, I have landmark ordination. Okay. So when I got ordained, I have what they call landmark ordination. But he said, it doesn't mean anything. Don't worry about it. All right. I know a pastor who, when he took his church over, they didn't have anyone, and his congregation got together and ordained him. I accepted that. Okay, I thought that was fine. Okay, they were just out in the middle of nowhere, and they needed the man. That's how John Bunyan was ordained. His congregation did it. All right, but Brother McVeigh was telling me the guy who was the head of all that stuff in Maine, who really they all listened to, and they bring him in, and he's doing writing books and everything on Baptist history and all that. In the hospital with cancer, and some woman put a picture of herself with him and said, "No, my sweetie's laying there dying. Or who's this?" Oh, he'd been having affairs for years. And the woman finally decided, he's dying. I'm not going to hide it anymore. All right. And, you know, and here's this guy. It's because all this trouble in Maine, you all need to be holy and rebaptize these people and have official baptism, not this artificial. You know, it's nonsense. Okay. Nonsense. Pastor Hain was initially baptized by somebody in a Protestant denomination. I had him baptize Chelsea. Okay. You think the Lord says, oh, her baptism isn't as good as Tanya's? No. That's a man of God, obeying the word of God, all right? She got baptized, all right? You know, God isn't so much interested in, you know, where that came from or whatever else. He's more interested in where's it taking you, all right? And where it came from. But what Brother Sheridan was talking about, when he first got out of college, there was a guy down in South America who was considered the grand poobah missionaries. All the Bible colleges thought he was a great thing. And, you know, his word just stood for everything. And he had churches all over and everything. And Brother Sheridan went down there and was actually working with him and saw some things that he thought weren't quite right. And he just asked the man about them. And the man absolutely told everybody, no, he's allowed to talk to Kevin Sheridan, had him kicked out of the country. And you're standing there like you're stunned. You know, you're 22, 23-year-old man, you got cerebral palsy, and you're down there, and this guy that was your hero, you know, kicks you out, and he was wounded for that for a long time. And the man had him ostracized all over. Just recently, the man's been arrested. They found all these women who've come forward, been molesting, and, carrying on with all, because he just, what a lot of these guys learn is you can become a powerhouse within fundamentalism. Not within Christianity, but within fundamentalism.
Right.
All right? And they learned to become those powerhouses. And, you know, it was probably 4 or 5 years back, Brother Sharon started sending me these things, these news articles on the guy. And just a vile person. And yet, here's all these people considering this great power of God. That's why when Brother Sheridan asked him those questions, I got to get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
It's a crack in the armor. Get rid of him. Somebody saw something. You can't have that. All right, and then everybody else is afraid to question little things they might see. Then everybody's quiet. All right, so it goes on, it says this. Verse 24, 23 again. They committed villainy, they committed adultery with their neighbor's wife, verse 23. Spoke lying words, which I have not commanded them. Even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. Thus shall thou speak to Shemaiah and Nehemiah, the Nehemite, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in thy name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah the priest, and all the priests, saying, the Lord hath made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers of the house of the Lord, for every man that is mad maketh himself a prophet, that thou should put him in prison in the stocks. Okay? Now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? So somebody is asking, you know, they sent a letter back from Babylon. Why don't you put this guy in prison? Look at the letter he just sent us, telling us to settle here. That's like treachery. That's like, treason, you know, he telling them all settle here. We're not going to go back to our home state. So he wrote that letter back to the people. Why haven't you thrown him in prison? Okay. Verse 28, for therefore he sent unto us in Babylon, saying, this captivity is long. Build ye houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehemite, because that Shemaiah hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nehemite with his seed. He shall not have a man to dwell among this people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath taught rebellion against the Lord. We live in a nation where it's good to be kind to everyone and understand that in this nation, every person has a right to worship as they want to worship, okay? Don't you interfere with that. Don't you ever get in the face of someone and tell them they can't do that or anything else, all right? But also understand that many of these people are dragging people to hell, okay? Going at them, throwing them in jail is not the way to handle that. Right. Throwing stones at them, persecuting is not right. The way, okay? But instead, just understand, God didn't send a lot of these people. They're out there contradicting what the Word of God says. Oh, God wants all of you to prosper and everybody to do well and all this. No, okay? Peace, peace, when there is no peace. All right, 30. The word that came to Jeremiah the Lord from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days cometh, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words the Lord spake concerning Israel, concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. And ye ask now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Okay, well, nowadays they say men can, all right? But wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all the faces turned into paleness? In other words, you know, when there's enemies running through your village and, you know, they have swords and they're just killing people in the streets, people get kind of afraid.
Yeah.
Okay? Ask ye now and see whether a man, okay, doth travail with child. 7. Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Jacob's trouble is when the walls broke down, Nebuchadnezzar came in, but it's also a name of the tribulation. Okay? You see, the time of the tribulation is called Jacob's trouble. 8, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds and strangers, so no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, and I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel. For lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, where they have scattered thee. Yet will I not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, thy wound is grievous, there is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up, that's no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity. Because thy sins were increased, I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because thou... They called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be builded from her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Now, again, some of you are going to go through great tribulation with God. I don't know necessarily who, but some of you will. You'll go through awful things with God, okay? They don't last forever. Submit yourself to him. Okay? Confess your sin to him while it's going on. Put yourself in his hands completely. I turned 50 years old. I just turned 69 last Sunday, but I turned 50 years old sleeping in a dorm room with my wife, my other children in another dorm room, in a place where the man despised me. I was getting ready to get rid of me, and I didn't have a penny to my name, and had lost all my friends. And I turned 50 years old in that condition, okay? And, all right, God will bring you about as low as you want to get. And when I left there, and I went, and a friend of mine, Frank Townsend, some of you know him, allowed me to stay in a little RV on his property. And while I was there, people were calling him to make him get rid of me. Put John Asquith out of there. Tell it all sorts of things. He told me later, he said, I finally got to the point I had to spy on you to see if these things were true. And he said, I learned that they were not. Okay? And he said, I watched you with your children, and I watched what you did and realized that, no, they've lied. Okay? And you know, and finally, we were waiting on a check that the state of South Carolina owed me, and so that we could move to New York. The Lord had showed me to come here. And I remember we were going to go and we were going to get a rental truck, you know, to put stuff in. And at the last moment, I was $200 short. And I just stood there in agony. Everybody saying, get the truck. And I didn't know where to go to get that money. And Amos Presley, some of you know him from Facebook, but he called me from an hour and a half away. He said, what's going on? God's in agony telling me I have to go give you $200. And I told him, get the truck. You know, met him out on the interstate, I-20, and we met at a rest stop, and he gave me $200, and we came here. And then for a year or so, I picked up cans by the side of the road on Route 16 trying to feed my family until God brought my understanding back to me of why he had done all that. And within 1 week, drove by here and saw the sign for the Black Creek Baptist Church, okay? But at 50 years old, I had to think about that 19 years ago, all right? Sitting there owning nothing anymore, nothing, okay? Nothing. No money in a bank, no anything, okay? You're 50 years old and this is where you are. But that same God had a plan. had these things in mind, but he had to break this man, John Asquith. He had to break him. Had to break him and make him nothing. Nothing. Till all that walked by would say, what is this? All right? A mockery. And it goes on.
19.
And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be a few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. The children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governors shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause them to draw near. And he shall be a reproach, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And he shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind that shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. John Vadis, would you close us in prayer, please?
Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this Bible study, Lord. And we get to spend the night and study thy word together, Father. We thank you for it. We ask, Father, that you continue to bless everyone here, Lord. And help us through any issues or situations we have, Lord. As we seek your guidance and will. And Father, we just ask that you bless this time of fellowship and refreshments and safe travel home. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.